Greetings.
Don't you be afraid.
Y'all can listen to
it. Preacher preaching in a broken voice. Crickets creaking out a lonely noise. The sun is sinking cause it's got no choice. Just like my sinking heart.
Thank you. The Ringing Stone Network will change the world. 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 The Ringing Stone Network will change the world.
Good evening, family, and I'm Brother Husiko. I want to welcome you to the Ringing Stone Network tonight, the Conscious Thought Series. Tonight we have our lovely, lovely host, the goddess Angela L., and she will be interviewing Dr. Umar Johnson. Sister Angela, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Thank you very much, Husiko. I really honestly feel like I know Dr. Umar Johnson, even though I've never met him in person. I actually like to listen and look at his documentaries, Hidden Colors. I've seen the three so far, and I can't wait for the rest. And thank you for introducing me so graciously. And Dr. Umar Johnson is a doctor of clinical psychology and certified school psychologist who is considered an expert on the education and mental health of African and African-American children. Dr. Umar, as he is known to friends, is a paternal blood relative of both the great abolitionist Frederick Douglass and the late Bishop Alexander Wayman, the seventh bishop of the A&E Church, both from Maryland Eastern Shore. Okay, he is also known most for his work in identifying the misdiagnosed learning disabilities disabled and ADHD students as a child therapist who works with depressed and behavioral challenged males. Dr. Umar is the author of the new book, Psycho American Holocaust, The Special Education and ADHD Wars Against Black Boys, the first book ever written by an African American male school psychologist to black parents with specific strategies on how to fight back against the special education system and ADHD. Dr. Umar also holds degrees in education and political science. He is one of the most requested speakers in the world and has lectured in North America, South America, the Caribbean, Europe, and Africa. Dr. Umar is currently working on building his new school, the Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey RBG International Leadership Academy for Boys. He can be reached at drumarjohnsonschool.com. DrUmarJohnson.com, DrUmarHBCUTHours.com, GoFundMe.com / Dr. Umar War Against Black Boys from Public School to Police. So I now welcome you graciously, and I'm just so proud to do this. Welcome our lecturer for tonight, Dr. Umar Johnson.
Peace. And Dr. Umar, if you're there, press 1 so I can find your phone number. Plus 1, please. There he is. Dr. Umar, your line is open.
Yes, sir. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for having me on the show.
Good evening. I'm so proud to be talking to you right now.
Honor is all
mine. Your credentials precede you, trust me when I tell you. We can't wait to hear what you have to say, and we're ready to get started.
Yes, ma'am.
What is going to be the topic for tonight?
Say that one more time.
What is going to be your topic for tonight?
The topic for tonight, we can deal with everything. Obviously, we want to start off with the war against black boys to make sure the parents understand the special education and ADHD hope that's being run on the black community. So it'd be appropriate to start there, but we don't have no guidelines and we don't have no boundaries. You're free to go wherever you want.
Okay. Well, I happen to know right now there are boys that I know they're being taken from their parents under the guise of being put into homes or whatever. So I'd like to talk about that for a minute, too, if you have time. I don't want to take up your time, but I'm really curious about that because I know several people right now that are in jeopardy of losing their children to the system permanently because of it. And, I mean, it interests me how they have put this system in place to take our children from us. And a lot of people don't realize what's happening. So if you have any thoughts on that subject, I would like to hear about that also.
Sure. Well, there's a couple rules that black parents need to be clear of. And the first rule that they need to be clear of is that it's very difficult for the system to work against you and your family without you first giving them permission. So that's the first rule. So when we look at a lot of the families that have had their children taken from them, we find about three things going on. Number one, we find that the parent allow the school or the clinical psychologist or psychiatrist to evaluate their child. And then after that child was diagnosed, the parent decided not to go with the diagnosis or not to go with the medicine or the special ed. But once you give them the power to determine if your child has a problem that requires that level of intervention, you've basically given them the key to take control over your children. Same thing with the psychiatric medication. Force you to put your child on drugs. But once you get that diagnosis, they can basically pressure you and threaten you to put your child on the medicine. And then when you stop giving your child the medication, that's when you can really get into trouble because you will be charged with what is known as medical neglect. Failure to give a child what they consider medication to deal with a particular illness. So they look at ADHD as an illness. Now, you and I know ADHD is a fraud. It is a hoax. It is a con game. It is a way that Wall Street makes billions of dollars off of single-parented black boys. We know that. But parents have to understand the role that they play and getting their children taken away from them. Now, let's step outside of special ed and ADHD. A lot of parents are getting their children taken from them under the charge of child abuse or child neglect. Child abuse or child neglect. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I believe in my work that I do as a school psychologist that sometimes it is in the best interest for the child to be taken out the home. If the child is not being fed, if the child is not being clothed, if the child is being sexually violated, physically abused, yes, sometimes the child does need to be taken out of the home. But what's happening a lot of times is that the system cannot prove the abuse or the neglect except for the testimony from the child. So in many cases, it is the child running their damn mouth that ends up getting the family in trouble, even when the situation is not significant, which means that parents need to teach their children to keep their mouth shut. When I was growing up, now I'm 40 years old, when I was growing up, I knew better. And most of my peers who grew up with me, we knew better than share the family business with anybody outside of the home, especially white people. We knew that. But in this new generation, in this new era where a lot of kids are having kids, where a lot of black parents have bought into this so-called post-racial America propaganda, where they don't believe in race and they don't see racism no more, they're not raising their children to protect the family system. And as a result of that, a lot of kids are being taken out of the home for frivolous reasons.
I agree wholeheartedly. A lot of people don't know the dangers of letting Europeans get too close to your situation in more ways than one.
Which takes me to another point. And I was speaking in Norristown, Pennsylvania last night, and I told the parents that you should never let the school counselor counsel your child. And the parents didn't understand that. They said, what you mean the school counselor shouldn't be able to counsel my child? You know, some of the parents seemed a little puzzled when I said that. That was the message on their face. And it was because the school counselor spends most of their time with your child digging into your personal business. They're not helping that child improve their self-esteem. They're not helping that child overcome bullying. They're not helping that child deal with peer pressure and deal with the fact that the dad may be locked up or the mom might be going through something. No, they dig all into the family business so they can find excuses and reasons to take the children out of the house. So it's important that if your child needs a therapist, if your child needs a counselor, you should let the school know that you will get your own privately. And then the school is going to ask permission to communicate with that counselor. Excuse me, communicate with your private counselor. The school is going to ask permission. You should never, and I hope you're listening, audience, and parents, hear me well. You should never sign a release of information form for your child's school. You should never do that. In fact, you should never sign a release of information for anybody. The doctor, the counselor, the school, never give white people the prerogative to communicate about your child and your family without your notice. In order for me to talk about your child to the school or to the doctor, you have to sign a release of information form. That gives me permission to talk, because privacy law requires that I cannot divulge your personal business without your permission. So what schools do, what the pediatrician will do, what the therapist will do is they'll give you a release form and say, can you sign this so I can talk to the school? Can you sign this so I can talk to the doctor? Why do I want white people from two different agencies talking about my child without my knowledge? Hell no, I'm not signing it. If there's anything you need to know, I will share it with you myself. But what they do, and they're very slick, what they do is they will tuck in the release of information form. They will tuck that in to the emergency pickup form, or they'll tuck it into the lunch form for free and reduced lunch. Schools are real slick. They'll stick it in the school picture form. And you like, I'm just signing permission for my child to take school pictures. And you didn't even realize it because you didn't read the paperwork, which is another big problem our parents have. They don't read enough. They just sign anything that they give them. And you just basically gave the school permission to contact anybody outside the school and get your personal family information.
Wow. That's interesting.
Go ahead and finish. Okay, the ADHD, I'm going to go back to the prehistory. ADD was the beginning. ADD was created in 1980, the same year that the mass incarceration war against black men began, the same year that the CIA dropped crack cocaine off in the black community. That's when ADD started. 1987, they added an H. In 1987, it went from ADD to ADHD. Attention deficit disorder to attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which I call ain't no daddy at home disorder, because that's all it is. A lack of fathers in the house to provide the structure and the discipline and the guidance. All this is a breakdown of the black family issue as a result of the war against black males. White folks have created a disability out of a disability that they created by locking up fathers. So they basically will label a problem that they created, give it another name, and blame it on the child. This is what they're doing. So in other words, this whole ADHD thing was created by the war against black males. But the government is not going to take responsibility for its war against black males. He's not going to say the reason these boys are off the hook is because they don't have their daddy. And the reason they don't have their daddy is because I have them locked up for selling crack. They're not going to say that. What they have to do is they have to blame the boy. They have to come up with a situation where they blame the boy for his own problem, even though that problem was created by the government. And then every time racism creates a problem, racism makes money off the problem. So we got to recognize that capitalism and racism are husband and wife. Racism is the husband and capitalism is the wife. Wherever there's racism, you will find his wife capitalism. And whenever there's capitalism, you will find her husband racism. They are married permanently. You can't get one without the other. Now, let's go back a little bit further. This whole ADHD situation and conduct disorder situation and oppositional defiant disorder situation actually goes back to the 70s and the early 80s. He came in 1980. It was part of what was called the Federal Anti-Violence Initiative. And your listeners and parents should do their research on the Federal Anti-Violence Initiative. The federal government put money into research to see how it could control inner city violence from a psychological perspective. In other words, they wanted to make sure they could prevent the rise of a black messiah. They wanted to make sure that there will not be another Malcolm X. They wanted to make sure no more Dr. King, no more Huey P. Newton, no more Mega Evers, no more Black Panther Party. They needed to make sure. So they brought the psychologists and the psychiatrists and the mental health experts in, and they say, we don't want no more Watts. We don't want no more Red Hot Summers. We don't want no more rebellions in the inner city. We had enough of that. What can we do to stop the black man from fighting back against white supremacy? And what they did was they put money into this project, Federal Anti-Violence Initiative, that basically created ADHD and all these other disorders, at least paved the way for it, and they basically came to the conclusion. Two conclusions. Conclusion number one, black males are like monkeys in the African jungle. And if you want to control black men, you should study monkeys in Africa. This is true. Anybody can do the research. And they said that since monkeys and most animals cannot control their behavior, if you want to control black males, and they're basically monkeys anyway, you should give them medication because they cannot control their behavior. So the whole philosophy behind psychiatric meds for black boys is based on the racist presupposition that black boys are one step away from monkeys, gorilla. And because these black gorilla boys cannot control their behavior, we have to give them medicine because they lack the ability to do it themselves.
Wow.
So that was conclusion number one. And the conclusion number one, that black boys are animals. Conclusion number two, because they're animals, you're going to need drugs to control their behavior. And by the way, I want to make sure the listeners are clear that the rationale to drug black boys was the same rationale that was used to drug the entire black community. Why did they bring crack in the 1980s? So they could neutralize the black power struggle. Everybody knows that. They brought the crack in through the mafia at the end of the Black Panther campaign to neutralize the black community, and we haven't rebounded yet. We're still dealing with the 1980s crack epidemic, and now we are, what, 35 years later? 35 years later, and we're still dealing with the aftershock of the CIA, federal government, cocaine war against black males. ADHD is a part of that. and we got to see it as a part of the criminalization of black men. ADHD is handcuffed with a pill. Instead of the pill, you give them the drug. And the drug controls the mind just like the handcuffs control the body.
It sounds barbaric to me.
It is barbaric. It's very, very, very barbaric. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, Queen, because all of this stems from the white man's science. And what is the white man's science? It's called eugenics, the science of African racial extermination, the systematic depopulation of Africans from America has been the government's primary objective since the day the Confederacy surrendered in the Civil War.
Okay, they do that, and any of our groups are supposed to be criminals. I'm still trying to figure out why it is because the KKK still exists. Somebody is criminalizing them. I'm just confused about the whole mess.
Now, give me this again about the criminalization. Repeat that, Queen, about what you said about the criminalization. I'm sorry.
What I'm saying is they criminalize that were trying to help them with how they think. Black Panthers was not Panthers there to not against them. They just wanted them to stay out of our neighborhood with the cops beating on us and all that kind of stuff. So they were there as our protectors. They criminalized them. They're criminalized.
Well, remember now, white supremacy operates on a set of unwritten laws, and these laws are more potent and more powerful than anything written, and black folks are still controlled under those laws. And the first law of white supremacy is that the black man has no right. That the white man is bound to respect. We got that from Justice Roger Taney about the Dred Scott decision. The black man has no right that the white man must respect. So when the Black Panthers decided that they were going to stop or stand up against police brutality, it is a crime. It is a crime under white supremacy for a black person to challenge a white person on anything. This is the basics. This is how they set up the system. You cannot challenge white folk on shit. Once in a while, they will let you do it, but by and large, it is an unwritten rule that you cannot do it. And that's why most of the time, when a black person finds a need to challenge white authority, they have to get a lawyer to speak for them. They have to get a lawyer to speak for them, because standing up to the power structure on your own can cost you your life, because white arrogance does not concede that black people have any right to question anything that white folks do.
I think the fear needs to be addressed because we need to get over the fear of them. Because we existed before they existed. So why are we afraid of them?
Well, here's the thing. Knowing who you are and where you come from does not undo your fear. Fear is a conditioned response. It is a conditioned emotional, which means it is indoctrinated at the level of the unconscious. Knowing who you are, that is indoctrination of the conscious mind. That is not indoctrination of the unconscious mind. So having knowledge of your past is not going to rid you of the fear that people have of white folk. Look at our scholars, our mainstream black scholars. They know the past. They know the history. Cornel West and Michael Eric Dyson and Huey Lewis Gates. They know African history inside and out. But that doesn't have anything to do with them being afraid of white folk. One has to do with a power relationship. The other has to do with information. One is power. One is information. And so we have to make sure we don't confuse those two, because sometimes we have a habit of doing that. Like, knowing who you are is going to rid you of the fear of white folk. Bullshit. Okay? In fact, studying your history with white people, studying what the white man has done to you, can inculcate more fear in you as opposed to getting rid of it. When you study slavery, you study colonialism, you study the Zulu Wars, you study the Ashanti Wars, you study Columbus, you study the Crusade, getting a thorough history might make you even more scared of the white man. The only way we're going to overcome our fear is to face it. Fear is overcome in the moment by facing it. Fear is not overcome by escaping to your past, going black to the future, and saying, well, if I read enough Shaka Zulu books, I'll stop being scared of white people because Shaka Zulu wasn't scared of white people. It don't work that way. You might be motivated to face your fear reading Shaka Zulu. You might be motivated to face your fear studying the great Menelik II. You might be motivated to face your fear studying Nanny of the Maroons or Ya Afatua, Queen Nzinga. It might motivate you to face your fear, but ain't no book you going to read. I don't care how great the book is, it's going to rid you of your fear, because fear is a conditioned response. And when you read a book, all you're doing is picking up information. One has nothing to do with the other.
So,
going up against white folk because our history has shown us means some of us got to go to jail. Some of us got to die. Some of us got to lose our job. You must be willing to sacrifice. And even for black folk who are not scared of white folk, a lot of them are fearful of losing certain things in their life that must be sacrificed in order for the greater good to be achieved. You understand? So he might not be scared of the white man, some black males, some black women, but they scared to lose that money that pays for that car. They scared to lose that money that pays for that mortgage. They scared to lose that money that pays for that cable bill and that weave hair and everything else. So when we talk of that fear, it's not just fear of the violent confrontation. It's fear of the economic sacrifice. Black folk are controlled primarily through their love of materialism. The white man is controlling black folk through our love of materialism. We want all his little gadgets. He knows this. We want to be able to go to the NFL game and the NBA game. We want the iPad and the Xbox. We want the high-definition TV. We want the vacation in the Caribbean. The white man knows this. We spend more money partying than any other group in this country. So he knows with a revolutionary people, they don't buy Louis Vuitton bags. Revolutionary people, they don't drive Mercedes Benzes. Revolutionary people, they're not worried about a $300 hairdo. Revolutionary people don't buy $5,000 watches. They don't do that kind of shit. People who invest in that are people who want to enjoy their time on earth. People who buy that type of stuff, they are not thinking about sacrifice because that is anything but sacrifice. That is trying to enjoy what they consider to be the best that white society has to offer them. Revolutionaries don't wear alligator shoes. You see, so we are a people who require revolution in order to get to where we want to be. But we are not of the psychology of the discipline of mind that is necessary for us to be able to bring about that revolution. Psychologically, we're not ready for that. We talk it. We walk it. We dress it. We act it. Black folk ain't ready for that. You haven't had a serious, protracted black movement since April the 4th, 1968, when Dr. King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Divine Lorraine Hotel. That was April of 68. Let's do the math. 78, 88, 98, 08, 18 will be 50 years since Dr. King's assassination. So we are 47 years. 47 years since Dr. King's assassination without no serious movement. And all of these self-appointed, opportunistic, predatory black leaders, and let's be honest, sis, one of the reasons we're in the situation we're in is because the nature of black leadership has undergone a revolution. That's the only revolution we've had. The leadership has had its own revolution. Black leaders.
Hello?
Yeah, it looks like we lost him. Give him a minute. He'll come back, I'm sure. And you sound better. You definitely sound better now too. And Dr. Umar, when you get back on the line, press one so we'll see your number. Yeah, you sound a lot better. You had an echo.
Yeah, I was on Bluetooth. Go ahead. Everyone, we're just having a little difficulty. Just be patient, please. We're trying to get Dr. Umar back. We're discussing some very serious, and I hope everyone can respect what we're talking about and take heed to it, because this is it has to do with our very survival as people. And as
he's back now.
Hi.
Can you hear me, sis?
Yes, yes, I hear you loud and clear.
Okay. So what I was saying was
ahead.
That black, no problem, black mm-hmm. leadership, black leadership has undergone a revolution. It has changed its focus from protest to politics, from empowerment to economics, making money. Black leadership has went from challenging the system to becoming a part of the system. Have you noticed that the average black leader only has one agenda for black folks? One sellout-ass agenda, all of them. I don't care who you name. They all got one agenda for black folks. To make white people like them and to register voters for the Democratic Party. That's the only thing Jesse Jackson is good for. That is the only thing Al Sharpton is good for. That is the only thing the Urban League, the NAACP, Jerry Lewis Gates, Michael Eric Dyson, Tavis Smiley, two agendas. We want white people to accept us, and we are willing to buy that acceptance with our vote. The only thing they do is tell you to do what every black preacher, every black politician, every black leader. Register to vote so you can help white folks get in power and exploit you. That's the whole agenda. Get your voter registration card so you can help Massa keep his foot on your neck. That's the only thing that they are doing in black leadership. It's pimping us out to the Democratic Party, who doesn't give a damn about black folks. What kind of leadership is that?
Neither party does. It's just not democratic. It's neither party. They both have their own agenda. Matter of fact, it's the same
right,
party.
But it's a result of the fact, though. It's a result of the fact that black people are married to the Democratic Party. When you automatically support a white institution just because, without no concession, I'm going to vote Democrat just because I think he's a better white man.
Mm-mm.
No type of agenda, no concessions offered. We're going to vote Democrat just because they're a better white man. If the Democratic Party knows they're going to get the black vote just because you're black, they're not going to take you seriously. Because your vote ain't worth shit. You're voting just because Sharpton told you to. And then the Republican Party ain't going to pay your ass no mind because they know you ain't going to vote for them just because. The Democratic Party owns the Negro vote. And the Republican Party don't need the Negro vote. The 2000 election showed you that. Al Gore, a racist, won the popular vote by 500,000 votes. It's one of the closest popular elections in American history. Y2K. Y2K changed the game. Because the Y2K election showed you if they don't want your ass in the White House, Al Gore, you ain't going in the White House. We don't give a damn how many black folks voted for you. Not only did they throw votes out that they did not want, even with the votes that were not thrown out, Al Gore still had more popular votes than George Bush. But the powers that be said, we don't give a shit because most of those votes is Negro votes, and no Negro is ever going to determine who president in the United States is. We're going to go with Bush, even though Gore had more votes. America is run on power. America ain't run on votes, but that's what Al Sharpton telling you. That's what Michael Eric Dyson is telling you. That's what Cornel West is telling you. That's what messy-ass Jesse is telling you. Just vote. Just vote. Now, I'm a political science major. I studied political science in undergrad. Actually, I double major, political science and psychology. Now, political science and history are almost identical as majors. There's only a few classes different between political science and history. Because political science is the history of America, and the history of America is the history of political science. So, in studying American history, in studying world history, in studying African history, show me a people who ever came out from under oppression because they voted. Show me, I don't care, show me the Bible, show me Asia, show me Europe, show me Africa, show me North America, South America, show me a people who was able to overcome oppression because they cast a vote presses election. I want to see that. I haven't seen that nowhere, but that's what Al Sharpton telling you. Al Sharpton says you can vote your way out of white supremacy. Yep.
Wow.
Black folks believed it. 2008, 2012, Barack Obama, we're going to vote our way out of oppression. We're going to put a black man in there with a white mommy. We're going to put a black man in there. And he going to do what's right for all Americans. And that's what we did. We put Obama in there, and Obama has done worse for black folk than any president we had since Ronald Reagan. Look at Obama's numbers. Look at the black predicament under Obama. Unemployment is worse than under both Bushes. That's right. High school completion, worse than under both Bushes. Police brutality, worse. Mass incarceration, worse. We going to vote our way out of oppression, right? We all the way back to slavery. All the only thing we missing right now, the only thing we missing from slavery is the chains and the whip. Keep on going. If we keep on going the way we go, no, I'm talking about the real chains and the real whip. And if we keep on going the way we going, you want to see chains and whips again. By the way, speaking of that, Sarah Palin, that nasty cracker who ran with Senator McCain for president a couple years ago, she was part of a conversation. She was part of a conversation recently. That explored, there was a conversation, whether or not slavery, and you can do your research, this is last week for anybody listening, if they think I'm making it up, look it up, Sarah Palin, former vice presidential Republican nominee for the United States, she said, either she was talking for herself, or she was talking for white folks, but she said that slavery in certain form should be reinstituted, should be considered for reinstitution in this country. It may help a lot of people who cannot provide for themselves. Look it up and see if I'm lying. Look it up and see if I'm lying.
Well,
you got white folks looking about bringing back slavery. They saying since black folks don't know how to act, and since black folks can't get no job, why don't we put them back in slavery and we take care of them?
Okay, well, you know, that right there in itself is already manifested because that's the only thing they're doing with the military-industrial complex they call them jails and prisons. So that's one of the forms they've already started. And they're locking
right.
Our people up.
True indeed. Mass incarceration is slavery, no doubt. But she wasn't talking about that kind of slavery. No. We're talking about antebellum chattel slavery. That's what she was talking about. Not going to jail slavery. But you are owned by white folks outside of jail slavery. That's right.
White got that
listen, let's see what's going on. White students are studying us. Here's the thing. White folks are studying black folks because they know that most of us don't care nothing about being black. And they feel that they can basically do whatever the hell they want and they ain't got to worry about no black resistance.
Mm-mm.
And guess what, my sister? They are correct.
Mm-mm.
As long as we got Oprah and LeBron to keep us entertained, as long as we got Tyler Perry movies, you can do whatever the hell you want to do to black folks as long as you let Empire and Scandal keep on coming on.
Mm-mm-mm. Wow. Well,
that's where we are. And it ain't getting no better, sister. It gets worse every day. You know why it gets worse every day? Because every day we get further and further away from who we are.
Yes.
We get further and further away from any serious freedom struggle.
Yes, I agree. And as long as we have the public food system set up the way it is, and then you have, like right here in Atlanta not too long ago, this is recent. We want to talk about history. No, this is our story, recent, with a lot of the educators getting locked up over a quote-unquote cheating on tests.
Yeah, they were innocent. They were innocent. Yeah. White folks did that. And
so
the whole thing is corrupt as hell.
And the only reason why they even did that was the fact that they get the black teachers, or if you want to call them black teachers, I don't call our people black, but anyway. Then you got all these, what are they going to do with the jobs? Who are they giving them to? Huh?
White
why
folks.
Do we have more of these Caucasian, European, Albions, whatever, in place to teach our children? Why are they teaching our children in the first place? This is something that, you know, okay, one of the things they didn't like about the whole Dr. King thing is the fact that Dr. King realized right at the end that maybe we should have left it alone. Maybe it should have been segregated. You know what I'm saying? Because it didn't get better. It got worse. You know, and a lot of people won't agree with that. They think things are just fine, like you say, but they don't realize what's happened. You know, you've gotten further and further away from who we are. Now, our children are acting silly and, you know, out in public and everything. You used to not be that way. We couldn't do that. You get slapped upside your head, anything. And I had a conversation with a couple of Caucasians yesterday about how his children were acting up and blah, 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 and he popped his son in the head and all that. I said, you mean white people are doing that now? But they were telling black people not to do that. It, you know, that was child abuse and whatever. So you all doing that now? Oh, okay. I guess that makes it okay then. You know, and they kind of look at each other, look at me. Yeah, you have to discipline your children if you want your children to act right. If you don't discipline your children are, if you don't do it when they're young and you don't do it when they're home where you can do it, then guess what? When they get big enough, and I do mean big enough, and I'm not talking about when they're grown. I'm talking about when they're 13, 14, 15. This place, Atlanta, got a nerve enough to have cops in the school now. They have probation officers in the school now. What is that all about? Nobody's asking questions. That's the part that I have a problem with here. You know, why are you not asking questions? You're setting your children up to be getting, just go ahead on them, stick them in a jail somewhere. You know, they are unruly, stick them in a jail. You know, I'm really ticked off about it, you know what I'm saying, because I see what's happening, and nobody is saying anything.
Well, here's the thing. The cop being in the schools was part of the militarization of the public school system. And that's about 10 years in the mix. Now, the interesting thing about the cops in the schools is that came from Columbine, when a white kid shot up their school. That's where that came from. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing, hypocritically ironic, that a white tragedy, not a black tragedy, mm-hmm. a white tragedy in the suburbs has led to the militarization of the black public school, which has resulted in record numbers of black children being arrested in school. Mm-hmm. So this came from Columbine and is being used against black children. But it gets worse now because now they want to pass laws that give teachers the right to carry guns in school. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, there's two states, and I can't remember which two it was, but two states just approved a law that allows teachers to carry guns. Now, I'm not aware of a single case of a black child coming to school and shooting a teacher dead. I'm not aware of a black child in this country's history that came into school and murdered their teacher. I don't know of a case. I could be wrong, but I don't know of a single case. So if that is not the case, what the hell teachers guns for in black schools when black kids do not have a history of killing white teachers? White kids have a history of killing white teachers.
Because it's all a genocide against black children. It doesn't have anything to do with them. And to be honest about it, I've read several places and I've listened to different audios and videos talking about how Columbine was a setup in the beginning. A lot of people said it never happened the way they said, and that it was a false flag, just like a few other things.
I believe it happened. I believe Columbine happened, and it was real. That happened.
But I mean, I'm not saying the whole thing. I'm just saying that some of the stuff they were saying that they claimed happened didn't happen, is what I'm saying. And even so, if it did, I mean, like you said, why has it been, are they giving these schools, are they going to be shooting white children in the head or whatever? I'm talking about the teachers. What the hell is that all about? Now, you've gone from taking paddles away from the teachers to giving them guns, because that's the way they used to do it in the old days, like people say back in the day. The teacher had a paddle, okay? You got paddle in school. Really? Now you're going to get shot in school? I don't agree.
Ain't that deep?
That's deep as hell.
School used to be a place without guns.
Huh?
Now the school might end up having, now you might end up having more guns in the school than you have on the street.
Yeah, you might, because I'm gonna put it like this. I'd be damned if I'm giving any teacher any right to shoot my child. Have a right to protect themselves. Why don't people just not send their damn children to those schools? How about that? How about homeschooling your own children? How about taking your children out of that crap and put it in something else? You know what I'm saying? Because it's getting to the point where if we don't start thinking for ourselves, when are we going to stop letting the so-called quote-unquote government think for us? You know what I'm saying? We need a think tank, damn it, right now to stop taking our children to their damn school. We're paying for school. We're paying for this stuff. You paying for them to have guns? As a matter of fact, let's get to it. You paying for the police officers to shoot you dead in the street. All this stuff is coming from your birth certificate bonds. This stuff, they ain't giving you nothing. They're taking everything off of you. We all have that thing in common. Birth certificate. It's a damn bond. Everything that they're putting up right now, the courthouses, new jails, new cars, what, light armored vehicles? I'm ex-military. I'm telling you where it's coming from. So at what point are you going to wake up? Time to get freedom going right here. Take back your birth certificate. Use it for yourself and quit being broke.
Well, one of the problems with that, my queen, is that the black community has been under religious hypnosis for the past 200 years.
Well,
and
you
as
know
long
what?
As the churches continue
to
control
that, the one that wants to stay up under that, shame on them, because you should have figured it out by now that that is not what's going on. They are not helping you with that. Matter of fact, if you run there every week and if you're giving your tithes and offerings to them every week, you go and you got people losing their homes and stuff all over the place. Why you can't go to that same institution? So that's what it is. and ask them for a loan from the church to help you from losing your house. They're going to tell you they're not a lending institution, but you can take my tithes and offerings and spend it on a brand new Cadillac. Make sure your bills are paid. Don't even go there with me, because I'm the wrong damn one to even talk to about that. I live in the land of the freaks down here. Don't even get me started. Ooh, y'all better talk about something else. I'm serious.
I feel you on that.
Like I said, I don't fear them. They piss me off. You know, it's like it's too much of the silliness going on. Everybody's got their heads up in the cloud. You need to come down and realize what's going on. It is not going to get better. You got to open up your mind and open up your eyes and ask the Most High to give you a brain to think with other than them thinking for you.
That's right.
Quit calling on the governmental ordinance department. Call on the Most High that lives inside of you. Ye are the gods, don't you know it? Don't get me started. Y'all, look, this is not my show. It's Dr. Umar's show. I'm trying to be cool right here. You know, I don't
you know what, Queen? Let me, if I can, let me make a couple of announcements just so people know what's going on and how they can get in contact with me. Firstly, wanted to let folks know that I can always be reached through my website, drumarjohnson.com, drumarjohnson.com. We're taking a group trip to Africa this summer. For those of you who've never been to Africa and want to go, you can go with us. We will be going from July 23rd to August the 6th, 2 weeks. We will spend a week in Egypt and a week in Ghana. If you're interested in going, the price is $4,500. I don't make any money from the trip. A $300 deposit is required immediately. And you can go to the website to register for the trip to Africa at dreamertours.com. DREAMER, dreamertours.com. To register for the trip to Africa. In addition, I will be hosting a Black Boy College tour for 11 to 17-year-old Black boys. There will be two tours, a North tour and a South tour. The South tour will be for 6 nights and 7 days. The North tour will also be for 6 nights and 7 days. Cost, we're working on it now. It will be less than $1,000. And you will be able to register your son for the tour beginning next Monday, June the 8th. On Monday, June the 8th, you can go to princeofpanafricanism.eventbrite.com. princeofpanafricanism.eventbrite.com and register your son. There will only be one bus for each tour. So you're looking at 50 boys for the North Tour, tour number one, 50 boys for the South Tour, tour number two, 100 boys total. It will be first come, first serve. There will not be a payment plan because you don't have time for that. You will have to pay in full, whatever the price is. I'm hoping we sell an extremely large amount of tickets next Saturday at the Dr. Umar Johnson Conference in Brooklyn. Everybody's invited to come out to hear myself. Dr. Claude Anderson will be lecturing on economics. And our good brother David Banner, super producer from the music industry, he will be speaking on the state of Black entertainment and hip-hop. So it's going to be a triple lecture. And a portion of that money will be used to help keep the cost down for the Black Boy College Tour. And a portion of that money will be used as a fundraiser for the Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey RBG International Leadership Academy, which I'm trying to build now. So, 11 to 17-year-old Black boys is going to be powerful. We have a strong tour lined up. It is going to be powerful. So those of you who got young men who need to be under the role modelship of some strong black brothers, who need to be around them on other young brothers in a positive way, not playing football and basketball and rapping and talking about girls all day long, you need to think about sending your son on my tour, July 8th. Also, if you haven't made a donation to the school fundraiser, please do. You can go to GoFundMe.com/Dr. Umar. GoFundMe.com/Dr. Umar. That's how you can make a donation to the school fundraiser. You can also mail in a check or money order. If you're not comfortable with an online donation, you can mail a check or money order payable to FDMG Academy, and you can mail that off to P.O. Box 6872, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19132. 6872, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19132. Also, we have the Unapologetically African magazine. Everybody is being invited to submit an article. Your article could be no more than 2,500 words. You can submit more than one article. It doesn't have to be one. The article could be on any topic of your choice. And you must include a photo. Send your photo along with your article or articles to UmarThePsychologist@yahoo.com. UmarThePsychologist@yahoo.com. We want articles from elders, from brothers, from sisters, from children. It could be poetry. It could be artwork, whatever you desire. It doesn't have to be a deep Pan-African revolutionary article. Long as it's information to make our people think or information that they can use. You might do an article on breastfeeding. You might do an article on opening up your own business. It just needs to be positive and informational. In addition to that, every Tuesday morning I have the Black Parent Teleconference. If you have any questions about your child, education, or mental health, you can ask Dr. Umar Johnson personally. Every Tuesday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. is the Black Parent Teleconference. Any question you have. If you need that information, you can email me or you can text my phone, 215-989-9858. 215-989-9858. And that's basically it for the announcement. We want everybody to know that I'm going to be speaking in Charleston, South Carolina for the first time. Charleston, South Carolina for the first time. Saturday, June the 13th. You don't want to miss it. Dr. Umar Johnson in Charleston, the home of revolutionary revolt leader, Denmark Beasy. Charleston, South Carolina, doors will open up. Double check. I want to make sure I give out the right information. Got to give out the right information, Charleston Flyer. Where are you? Looking for my Charleston Flyer. I think I just passed it. I should know this information by heart. But I got grown-up ADHD, so sometimes I got to refer back. Where we at? Here we go. Charleston, South Carolina, Saturday, June the 13th. Doors open up at 3 o'clock. Program will be from 4 to 7. Doors open up at 3 o'clock. Program will be from 4 to 7. You can get your tickets at PrinceOfPanAfricanism.eventbrite.com. The lecture will be at the Sterrett Hall Auditorium. S-T-E-R-E-T-T. Sterrett Hall Auditorium, 1530 7th Street. 1530 7th Street in Charleston, South Carolina. For more information, you can email Dr. Umar Charleston at yahoo.com. Dr. Umar Charleston. You can also call Sister Shanette at area code 803-415-5354. For Charleston, again, 803-415-5354. Or you could call Sister Shanika at 843-499-4105. Again, 843-499-4105. I'm looking forward to it. I will have my book, Psychoacademic Holocaust. Every parent needs to purchase a copy of my book so they will be prepared to defend their child against the miseducation system. My book, Psychoacademic Holocaust, is the only book that teaches our parents how to fight back against special ed and ADHD and win it. So Charleston, looking forward to Charleston. Again, if anybody needs a flyer, you can text myself, 215-989-9858. I will send you the flyer, or you can email me for it at drumarjohnson@yahoo.com. And then I'll be in Birmingham the very next Thursday, Birmingham, Alabama, for the first time, June the 18th. I'll be speaking at the Harambe Room, 1813 4th Avenue. Birmingham, Alabama, Dr. Umar Johnson for the first time, Thursday, June 18th. Doors open up at 5, 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, the Harambe Room, 1813 4th Avenue. I'll be in Chicago on June the 11th for the Imani Juneteenth Book Fair, Formation Lutheran Church, from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and there will be music and entertainment and a spoken word cipher. So Chicago family, please come on out, show love at the New Reformation Church. And then I will be in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, for the first time, Thursday, June the 25th, Oklahoma City, 6 to 9. Doors open up at 5, and that event will be at the Metro Technology Center. Metro Technology Center, Spring Lake Campus, Business Conference Auditorium, 1900 Spring Lake Drive. In Oklahoma City. And then the last one I'll mention is San Antonio, Texas. First time, all four of these is new events. First time I'm in the city. San Antonio, Texas, Saturday, June 27th, for the Organization of Black Unity Family Festival. And I will be doing a workshop from 1 to 3 on public school law, talking about the importance of independent African schools. So you got San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Chicago, Charleston, Birmingham, and of course my next event in Brooklyn, Three Kings, Claude Anderson, David Banner, Dr. Umar, Saturday, June 6th, First AME Zion Church. You can get tickets for all the events at princeofpanafricanism.eventbrite.com, and that'll do it for the announcement.
Peace. Sister Angela, may I have a moment? Since we're doing the marketplace, let me give folks some of the things that's going on at the Ring and Spawn Network. That's okay with you, Dr. Umar.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Every Sunday, family at 8 Eastern, we have a program called Remedies at Work, where we go into helping people with foreclosure. I have Master Kaya Yahweh, he hosts that program.
Excellent.
Do I have an echo?
You have an echo really bad.
Okay.
Can you hear me now? Dr. Umar, are you still there?
I didn't hear you.
Do you have any thoughts?
Do you have any thoughts at all?
Mothers or children to the system.
Any thoughts on mothers who have lost children to the system?
Right, as far as having.
You break it up a little bit.
I don't know what the problem is.
You're good now.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, I have several friends. She's still doing that. But anyway, they have lost their children to the system. Do you have any idea? Do they have a lawsuit or whatever?
Often when you lose a child to the system like that, it's going to require you to get a family attorney. It's very difficult to fight the state on the level of custody, family attorney. So they gotta get a family attorney, and they could get it from community and legal service. You know, even though they don't really give out good service, you know, because they're community lawyers, so they don't really do their best. You know, but find you a good black lawyer. But you're going to need. It's going to be hard to do it without a family lawyer. I mean, you can go at it yourself, but the judge is not really going to take your case seriously, in my experience, if you don't have a lawyer behind you.
Would you like to tell you something that may help, but I'll talk to you in person about it. That'll work, no problem. I think this was a technical difficult discussion, so this is an issue, if you don't object.
No, that's fine. Yeah, we had a good 90 minutes, so that'll work.
Okay. Well, why don't we see if we can just take a few questions. In the meantime, if you have any questions, press.
Hello?
I'm still on.
Okay, Dr. Umar, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, let's see if we can get a couple questions.
Hey, Sister Angela, can you just hang up and call right back in immediately and see if it'll clear the reverb on your phone.
Okay, you're echoing too. I know.
Let's hang up.
I'll call right back. Okay, I'm back.
Is that better?
Dr. Umar?
Yeah, I can hear you. I don't hear any static now.
You don't?
Nah, it's crystal clear right now.
I hear it. Yoshiko?
Yeah, see if you buy some speakers. You may be buying some speakers and give feedback from the speaker.
Well, see, now she was clear, but when the brother comes on, I hear a lot of static when he comes on.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, you know, whose phone it is, but for like right now, I hear nothing. It's perfect silence.
except your voice, but when he comes on, it sounds like it's raining or the wind is blowing or something.
Right. I hear the same thing. Yushiko, can you...
Yushiko, can you ask the question right quick?
Are you there?
I don't know. 803-537, your line is open. Go ahead with your question.
Hello, brother.
Hey, brother Larry, how's it going?
We going, bro. Look forward to seeing you not only in Charleston, but also in D.C.
Yes, sir.
Can you share a little bit of what happened in London? London at the Pan-African Liberation Day?
Sure, London was powerful. London was really, really powerful. A lot of people came out from all across Europe, all across England itself. A lot of conversation. They passed some resolutions on, like, repatriation. I think there was a resolution to actually investigate that. There was resolutions to support different goals and projects on the African continent. A lot of good information. Dr. Robin Walker was there, you know, author of the book When We Rule. A lot of organizations. I enjoyed it. You know, I keynoted both days. A lot of good entertainment, good food. It was powerful. That was my first African Liberation Day in Europe, and they did it well. Brother Beanie and all them, they did it quite well. I was very impressed with what I saw. Very impressed.
Yeah, that sounds really good. And a lot of times that static comes from having the computer and the phone on. You have to turn the computer down all the way when you're on the phone.
That's what that is.
Well, in some situations, not all. But it sounds good, bro. I look forward to seeing you soon. And many of you will be able to come, but all of us will be there.
I appreciate that, Brother Larry. Always. And we gotta get ready to do something in Newberry too, probably in the early fall or the end of the summer.
Right. Well, everybody's having issues with the attack coming in many different forms when you try to stand up.
Yes, sir.
So, we'll let you get back to some of the other calls in Greenville. We all look forward to seeing.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that, Brother Larry. Thanks again. Give a shout out to Kwame and everybody else.
Oh, yeah, he should be on the phone as well.
Cool.
Hold that.
Okay, I'm better. I'm hung up.
Okay, if there's not any more questions, as far as the errors, want some emails? Dr. Umar? Oh, sure. Yeah, they can email me questions. That's no problem. Dr. Umar Johnson at yahoo.com. Yes, and that way they can get the questions. Yeah, they could also text my phone, too.
for the Tuesday morning call information or anything else, any of the tour information, anything, they can text me 215-989-9858.
Could you repeat that?
Could you repeat that?
215-989-9858.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to end it. Thank you very much for,
all the community.
And we appreciate you so
much.
Time out for us tonight. And thank you, audience,
for
appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
Peace and love,
Queen.
Peace, Dr. Umar. Are you still there?